Hi there. Do you know what your anxiety profile is? Me, I was a besieged panicker. We often say that the first step to reversing anxiety is to understand it. And that's why we've created a tool to help you discover your anxiety profile. And it's totally free. In about 90 seconds, you'll receive your customized anxiety profile. And it will answer so many questions you've probably been struggling with, including, am I going crazy? And why me? So if you haven't yet, pause this episode and head to lifefreeofanxiety.com/profile or click the link in the show notes. I promise you'll get a lot more out of this and every episode once you know your anxiety profile. And now, on to the show. Well, hi, we're back. Our first episode of 2021. And let me tell you, this new year looks a lot different from last new year. Welcome to the Life Free of Anxiety podcast, where each week we'll bring you another discussion to help you on your way to overcoming your fears. I'm Erica, and together with Dr. Charles Barr, a licensed clinical psychologist specializing in anxiety, we'll be your guides on this journey. To find a list of helpful free resources we offer, head to lifefreeofanxiety.com. Because you are not broken, you are not alone, and you are on your way to living a life free of anxiety.
I was just listening back to our episode from last year, and my goodness, it was a totally different time in the world. Very strange. Sorry it's been a few weeks. We moved. Change teaches you to give yourself permission to only do what you can, and I'm telling you, the only thing we could do was move. It was quite the task. The only day it poured rain in Southern California in forever, and it has not rained since, was the day we moved, and we had a one-year-old. Our childcare fell through for the move. So I was trying to watch our kid and move, and it was a lot. It was a lot. Worst move of my life, but it's over. Thank God. And we're very happy where we are. So that's great too. But I'm telling you, I use change principles a lot. I had to use them for this move because it was stressful. And that's the point of the program. It's not a secret pill. It is strategies, and it is also relaxation exercises that do change you pretty much for life. But I revisited a lot of those relaxation exercises, I should say, and did them like crazy. They got me through the move. They got me through the holidays. They got me through coronavirus. Not that I had it, but like, you know, the stress of moving during this time and all that. And they help so much. Everything about change helps me with stuff like this when things get super stressful. So I hope 2021 is the year you beat anxiety and you learn to just have these skills for whatever comes up, because moving is one of the most stressful things you can do. And so things like this are going to happen, right? We're always going to have to deal with stuff like this, no matter how calm we get or whatever, we're still going to have stress come up. And we've had a number of people finish change since we launched it online, and all the feedback has been amazing. I told you guys I would fill you in about that. I'm going to share more next episode because I've got to get that information together. But one story was super exciting. At the beginning and end of the program, participants fill out a survey. Everybody does when they do change. We do a before and we do an after. One of the graduates from our first group indicated that on a scale of 1 to 10, her daily happiness jumped to a 9 and her daily anxiety dropped down to a 1. Sorry, that's Sadie. She's so excited she just shook. But seriously, she did this program for 16 weeks. She has a happiness level of a 9 now. 9? That's pretty good. And this is the program she did with us just in 2020, the one I've been telling you about. So on another question in general, the other question is, in general, how satisfying do you find the way you're spending your life these days? Every participant reported that their levels had increased to 7, 8, or 9 out of 10. And that is 16 weeks, like I just said. So we're not selling you anything crazy. This is not snake oil. These are real results. Hundreds of thousands of people have done this program. It worked for Dr. Barr. It worked for me. So we really do want to encourage you to check out changewith2ways.com. We're keeping the price low because we want as many people as possible to do this during this pandemic when things are extra stressful. And I know some of you got stimulus checks recently. The change program is much less than those checks, but it can give you your life back. So what a great way to use some extra cash if you got some. And I seriously just can't stress it enough. So that's all I'm going to say about that. That is changewith2ways.com if you want to check that out. Here is our New Year's episode from last year. Really good advice still in there. Different time of life, like I said before. But I am very excited to be back with you. And Dr. Barr and I should be back with you next week for a new episode. But enjoy this best of episode from 2020 New Year's with some great tips on how to take care of yourself and what new things we can do this year to better our happiness and ease our stress and anxiety. So let's go.
Well, welcome to the Life Free of Anxiety podcast. And let me wish everyone a happy new year.
Happy New Year.
That's right. Did you party?
I was asleep by 10, but I have a almost 9 month old, so that's my excuse.
Well, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
It? Yes.
Oh my gosh!
I did
yes.
make it up till midnight, and
you did.
I did. And so one of my traditions is to try to have some kind of fireworks on New Year's Eve. So
I should have gone to your house.
My family.
I was asleep. You're having fireworks.
We do the safe and sane kind of things, but it takes some pre-planning to have them for New Year's Day or New Year's
Eve. I bet.
But it's fun. We have a good time.
Aw.
And I hope our listeners had a good time. And
yes.
Wow, 2020.
I know.
Can you believe it?
I didn't even realize we left the decade, by the way. Everyone's like, we're leaving the decade into a new. I was like, we are? I seriously didn't even think about it. Everyone's like, the roaring 20s.
Right.
I'm like, what? I knew it was 2020, but like, I didn't think I just left a decade. Maybe I missed. It's seriously a mom thing. Like, once you become a mom, it's just survival every single day. You don't think about the last 10 years or the next 10 years. You just think about today. So
that's right. That's right.
That's
well,
my excuse.
One day at a time.
Right.
One thing at a time. And, you know, you, especially when you have a small child, you really do want to stay in the present and, be there with him. So, so today, what would you like to talk about, Erica?
Well, I think we could talk about the top three things that you should start doing this New Year's to effectively treat your anxiety on a daily basis. There's so much information out there that we wanted to kind of simplify it and break it down to what could we do that wouldn't really, you know, we're not going to give you some crazy list of chores that, you know, you're not going to be able to complete by the time it's February. We wanted to kind of simplify three things.
Are you talking about New Year's resolutions?
I'm talking about New Year's resolutions. Yes. The three ones we picked out for you.
Oh, we said the word. Oh, no.
They're not
New Year's resolutions.
Yeah. You don't get to make your own. We picked them for you this year. No. But yes, we simplified it to three things that you're going to say, that doesn't sound so easy, but they are, and they're manageable once you try it. Is that fair to say?
That's fair.
Okay.
And I think that is what we want people to do, is we want people to try it. And
yeah.
We want to give you the best chance of success at it as we can.
Right.
So let's start by talking about resolutions in general for just a second.
Okay.
As one of the motivational speakers that I've read over time, and I can't remember which one it was, who was saying this, is people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. And so we want to help you plan.
I had to think about that.
Succeed.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
We want to help you plan to succeed in this year. And what better resolution to start a new year and start a new decade than to resolve to yourself that you will live free of anxiety, that
right.
you will have a life free of anxiety for this year.
And that it's actually possible
for
you.
To come.
Yeah.
And that it is possible. And so we want to try to give you some steps to help you on your way to doing that. And see if we can't make it an easy thing for you to do. And a successful thing for you to do, where you will make it part of your habit and it will become part of your lifestyle so that it just helps you all through life.
Right. And there is one thing that Dr. Barr has worked on for you guys. It's a chart on how to manage this. And we're going to have that on a New Year's post on our Instagram and Facebook page. So you can find us there, Life Free of Anxiety Podcast. Actually, we're just under Life Free of Anxiety on Facebook and Instagram. But that's where you're going to be able to kind of track the things that were basically the little assignments we're going to give you for every day. So Dr. Barr, the licensed clinical therapist, you're listening to us, put that together for you. And you can find it on our Instagram or Facebook, Life Free of Anxiety. And you can also connect with us there anyway. We'd love to hear from you.
That's good to remind people.
Yeah.
Well, now, the first one is sleep. Sleep is very important, and our country operates on sleep deprivation, it appears.
Mm-hmm.
And the research is saying that most of the people just don't get enough sleep, that we don't give ourselves enough time in bed, really resting and restoring. And so that can be a difficult thing. And it's especially important for our folks who are dealing with anxiety, because anxiety takes a lot of energy.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of energy to hold anxiety away, to hold it out away from us. And if we're tired, then it makes it much more difficult to keep the anxiety out and be calm and keep the anxiety away from us. And so you have to have some resources to be able to do that. That's why sleep deprivation is particularly difficult when you're dealing with anxiety. And yet anxiety is one of those things that interrupts sleep also.
Right.
So the first thing we want to do is to say you really need to try to get sort of the gold standard is 8 hours. And I know everyone's heard that before. And you go, oh, yeah, well, I functioned on 6.5. And I functioned. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was younger, I, in fact, did function on 6.5. Now, whether I would have functioned better on more, that's debatable, and that may likely be true. And some people don't need that much. I understand that. But when you're dealing with anxiety, you probably do need that, and maybe even more. And so I want you to really start trying to track when you go to sleep, when you get up, how many hours of sleep are you actually getting? So if you will start actually tracking that so that you can see, oh, well, I routinely am only getting 6.5 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have 7.5 now to function well, or I don't function well. So as I've gotten older, I've needed more sleep, and that's true across the board. Young people and older people both seem to need more sleep.
I just need sleep, and I need like 9 hours. I've always needed 9 hours.
All right, and that's not unusual. And so I want people to pay attention to what their own individual needs are and really take seriously what that is.
Yeah.
Now, tiredness is one of the things that can trigger anxiety. And part of why it triggers anxiety is because when we're tired, our body's mechanism for making up for that is, guess what? Adrenaline.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah. So adrenaline is what we're trying to keep at bay. We're trying to keep that low in our systems because mm-hmm. adrenaline creates that same feeling of anxiety. And it's part of the fight or flight mechanism. And we don't want you living in a fight or flight world.
Right.
We want you living without that adrenaline. And so we really want to keep the sleep going so that you're not tired and not pulling on the adrenaline system to be able to make up for the energy that you don't have because you didn't get enough sleep.
When I was in my anxious state, I would always hear how much energy it took to have anxiety. But what's interesting is I didn't always feel like I just used a ton of energy to be anxious. Does that make sense? So it was like, if I was anxious, I wouldn't even necessarily feel tired after being anxious. So the only way I knew that I was using a lot of energy being anxious was just because I learned you are using a lot of energy. So
yes,
I couldn't necessarily, my body wasn't necessarily telling me that, but knowing that information made me very aware that I was going to need enough sleep and I, you know, wasn't going to be able to skimp on that. I've always noticed that if I was running on less sleep and I felt tired, that I, you know, could get anxious at that time. Like I was more vulnerable. I knew that.
Right.
I just didn't always,
right.
I could have also had a well-rested day on the flip side, gotten anxious and not known that I was burning so much energy. So it is something regardless to always, I think, pay attention to. It's kind of like a badge of honor in our society to not sleep for whatever reason, like to do so much and to not get need much sleep is something people are really proud of, I think. And
well, I think you're right.
And I don't know where that came from. I've had to just say, who cares what other people think? I know what I need and I know what's best for me. So if everyone else wants to be sleep deprived, okay, but I don't need that in my life. So
we also have the social pressure of talking at the water fountain or whatever at work, you know, and it's like, hey, did you see what Jimmy Kimmel said or what Jimmy Fallon did or what Colbert said last
night? Staying up. You're like, I was asleep.
Like, no, I was asleep. You know, yeah. I'm like, well, what's wrong with you that you don't stay up and watch these things? You know, and it's like, so we get some social pressure that says you're supposed to be watching these things. This is part of pop culture and this is what you're supposed to be doing. And, it just doesn't work out well for a lot of folks.
It really doesn't.
When it comes right down to it.
Yes.
So one of the things that we would like people to do then is to keep a sleep log.
Okay.
We want you to write down when you go to bed. It's not hard. And then write down when you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start tracking, okay, how much sleep am I really getting? What do I need to do to increase the amount of sleep that I'm getting if I'm not getting enough? And so it may mean you start going to bed earlier or you don't watch the 11 o'clock news. That's really not a great way to go to bed anyway with all that negative information in your head.
Right.
But there are a number of things you can do like that will help you increase your hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm. Something that I do for sleep that I've needed for a long time is magnesium. And I don't get, this is not our sponsor or anything, but I use something called Calm Magnesium and it's a powder. And that is super effective a lot of people with anxiety need magnesium anyway, from what I've read. But this is a great thing to do before going to bed to not only fall asleep, but stay asleep if that's your issue. So I just wanted to put it out there that I pretty much can't live without that. It's called Calm and it's a powder and you use very little a day, but makes a big difference. Cause I know it's easy to say, go get more sleep, but I just wanted to give a little tip that works for me. So,
now, does it have anything else in it besides magnesium?
I don't know.
I was wondering if it had some calcium in it.
Let me see. Because
those both would be very good for the nerves and quiet the nervous system. And also would help with cramps if you're having cramps at night or muscle
That's true.
Cramps or that
Leg
kind of
cramps.
Thing.
It can help
with that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it looks like they make some with calcium. And I take a calcium supplement anyway. So yes, definitely good things to keep in mind. And you can ask your doctor if you think it might be any, you know, interact with anything. But I definitely,
that's right. Yes.
It's a go-to for me.
Okay, good to know.
So number two.
All right, nice tip.
Yeah.
Number two is caffeine. Our country loves coffee.
I know I did.
We love caffeine.
Yep.
We drink sodas and we drink tea. And the coffee industry and the tea industry, the soda industry are huge industries. And almost all of it has caffeine in it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with us anxiety folks is that caffeine hypes up the very system in our nervous system. It hypes up that system that carries the anxiety. And our goal in treating anxiety is to keep that nervous system quiet as possible. And we can never keep it completely quiet because we use it all day long.
Because we live.
But we try.
We live in the world. That's yeah.
Right. But what we're trying to do is to keep that system as quiet as possible and not let it get overstimulated.
Mm-hmm.
And caffeine for a lot of anxiety folks overstimulates that system and increases the likelihood that we will end up feeling anxiety and maybe even trigger a panic attack for us. So we don't want to get that anxiety system rolling. So one of the things for the new year we would like is for you to decrease and even eliminate the amount of caffeine that you have.
Yeah.
And so on our little chart that we have for you is we have a little chart there where you can just track, use tally marks, and just track how many cups of coffee or tea, sodas that you have. And be aware that diet soda still has caffeine in it.
And tea.
A lot of people drink, oh yes, and tea.
And chocolate.
A lot of people, oh, you said the C word.
I know.
Not chocolate.
It doesn't have as much, if it makes you feel better, but it still has it. I know, it's sad. I have a friend who's allergic to chocolate, so it could be worse, right?
Well, it could be, yeah. I know some folks that don't even like chocolate. I don't understand them.
I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
So I want people to be careful with the amount of caffeine that they're consuming, and we can get it in lots of places. So if you'll just use a tally mark, you know, and keep track of, okay, how many times did I have caffeine this week? Now, if you are a regular caffeine user, and you, let's say you drink two cups of caffeine, I'll say caffeine instead of coffee or tea or soda or whatever. Let's say you have two cups of caffeine a day, mm-hmm. on a routine basis, and you start wanting to drop that out. I suggest that you go down to one cup a day, mm-hmm. instead of just going cold turkey. It is very possible to give yourself a caffeine withdrawal headache, and those are miserable.
Yeah.
They feel very much like migraine headaches. They can make you light sensitive and nauseated, and almost render you non-functional. And you don't really have to go through all of that if you will cut down slowly on the caffeine intake. So if you track yourself for a week, let's say, and you find that you're consuming 5 or 6 beverages a week, a day that have caffeine, then you have a pretty heavy caffeine intake.
Yeah,
and so you're really going to want to taper down because, okay, so I have a cup or two of coffee in the morning and I have 2 or 3 sodas during the day. And it's like, wow, that adds up.
But what's the goal here? Do we want to get off caffeine? Do we want to just cut down?
Get off caffeine.
Yeah.
Give yourself the best chance possible to deal with have a life without anxiety. And
right.
Caffeine just complicates the issue.
It's really now, true.
Say, I have to have my caffeine. And it's like, well, try it without it and see. And it may well be that you'll be able to do caffeine and still live a life without anxiety, but it certainly adds to the problem rather than helping with the problem.
Yeah.
So we'd like for you to get off of it if you can.
So I know it's totally a downer to hear get off caffeine, and we're talking about it like it's really easy. And, you know, you could be a new mom, you could have seriously early hours, and you could find that's the only, you know, way you can get through life. But I will say this, I was a big caffeine lover to the point where when I gave up coffee, people couldn't believe it. People were like, what? Erica gave up coffee? Because like I said, I need 9 hours of sleep and I don't like getting up early. But when I made the decision to do it, I learned how to live without it. You at some point did live without caffeine. As a child, most likely you were caffeine free for the most part.
That's
you weren't drinking
true.
A coffee
yes.
in the morning. And so maybe your life wasn't as demanding then, but I just want to say I made the decision a long time ago because it truly was best for me with my panic attacks to get off of it and to stay off of it. Some people I think can get back on it after a while, but I found that I really couldn't. But I just want to say I went through being a new mom without caffeine this year. And so it is possible. Thank you.
But
I just want to give people some hope out there that once you learn a new habit, it sounds terrible now, but you will find other ways. Like for me, again, I have a supplement that I really like that gives me a little bit of energy in the morning. Some people it's cold water. Some people, for some it's exercise in the morning. For me, I'm not awake enough for that really early, but you'll find a way out of it and you will find once you do it that it is truly best for yourself and for your anxiety, for your sleep at night. It's going to change a lot of different things for you. So just don't be so resistant to it, because I believe in you. I think you can do it. So I know it's asking a lot.
I think they can too. I think they can do it. And you mentioned water, actually, and that's mm-hmm. actually a good supplement, because most of us walk around a little bit dehydrated as well, especially if everything we drink has caffeine in it,
right?
Because caffeine dehydrates us.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of having that cup of coffee, go have a drink of water and hydrate yourself well and see if that doesn't really help with that.
Yeah.
So good. I'm glad you brought that up. Very nice. Well, let's talk about breathing.
We talked a little bit
in some of our others. Well, I think we all do it, but it's a matter of how we do it
sometimes
that can make a big difference. And so particularly I want to talk about abdominal breathing,
mm-hmm.
using your diaphragm, to which is your breathing muscle. Now, people may have heard this, but I'm really wanting them to practice using their abdominal muscles to breathe, and to practice that breathing is very important and can really help. And so on the chart that we have, if you go and get the chart, you'll see that I've made a place for you to practice that 3 times a day. Now, that sounds like a lot. It doesn't take a lot of time, and it can make a huge difference for you in terms of the stress that you feel, and in letting your breathing re-regulate your nervous system.
Right.
There is something about the abdominal breathing and about doing a full exhale and doing the abdominal breathing that just really tends to reset the nervous system and helps us be a lot more relaxed. So in order to practice that, one of the things that I would recommend is I think probably you tried this and used this, Erica, and I use it myself, is to lie down on a bed or sofa or even sitting in a reclining chair, that kind of thing, and
mm-hmm.
put one hand on your chest and one hand on your stomach. And then when you breathe, you just let your hand on your stomach move and you keep your chest still. So the hand on your chest doesn't move, but the hand on your stomach does move, and it goes up and down.
Yeah, I'm doing it now.
So you have a young infant, and
mm-hmm.
so when you look and you watch him to make sure that he's still breathing, all you see is his little tummy coming up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time his tummy goes up, he's taking a breath in.
Right.
And when his tummy goes down, he's breathing out. Just like a small child, just let your diaphragm do the work and let your tummy gently be rising and falling as you breathe in and out.
And it's easier said than done with breathing. I still have to work on my proper technique. I think I heard when I was younger to always be holding in my stomach because it was good for my stomach muscles. But what it wasn't really good for was my stress. Because I just am always sucking in. It's just something that I learned a long time ago. A lot of dancers do it, and you can kind of hinder yourself sometimes with that because you don't let the stomach push out and go back in. You know,
That's
you're
right.
kind of always
right.
holding it one way. So I am very guilty of not just being like, oh yeah, breathing with your stomach pushing out and in, that's easy. I that's something I still have to work on. So technique matters.
Well, that's right. And those are all good things.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you want to relax, you need to be breathing with your abdominal muscles, with your diaphragm. So it's mm-hmm. diaphragmatic breathing, especially during the times that you want to relax, that really, really help. You can focus in and allow your body to reset and relax. And so I'm recommending that you do this 3 times a day, sometime in the morning, preferably soon after you awaken,
mm-hmm.
sometime midday, lunchtime or mid-afternoon break, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And then at night before you go to sleep, if you'll do the breathing exercise, it will actually help you get to sleep. So
yeah.
As a matter of fact, the breathing and the sleeping may end up going hand in hand and help one another.
Right.
Nobody gets to do this perfectly.
Yes.
No one gets to do it perfectly. Just no one. So I won't do it perfectly, and you haven't and won't, and our listeners won't. Mm-hmm. And so I want them to be gentle with themselves as they try this. And when they feel like they haven't gotten it or can't do it or they're having a hard time with it. So I just want them to gently bring themselves back to the breathing so that they can focus on using the diaphragm. And so I think we have a relaxation CD, don't we, that we're going to
be with Dr. Barr's lovely voice that I've been using for years. And honestly, just going off of what you just said, there are still times to this day where I'm like, am I doing this right? So if that makes anyone feel any better, I've been doing this a long time and I'm well practiced at it. And I still question if I'm doing a good enough job sometimes. And that's when I say not to think. I tell myself, don't think too much about this. This is really very simple, and let it be what it is for the moment that it's there. You're just going to do the best. The idea is not to try too hard, I think. It's just to kind of let yourself feel whatever you feel. If your mind wanders, so be it. Try to get back on track. And you can get that by going to lifefreeofanxiety.com/relax. They're not too short and they're not too long. And Dr. Barr really guides you also on muscle relaxation, which is an excellent practice to learn. It's something that once you get that down, if you feel yourself start to get stressed, you can start relaxing your face or your jaw and right in the moment of stress. And that makes a big difference. It might sound foreign to you now, but once you get these practices down, it makes your life a lot better. Lifefreeofanxiety.com/relax. And then we also have our New Year's resolution that we were going to share with you. We are bringing back the program that helped cure both Dr. Barr and me from anxiety/panic attacks. And we are working on that for you guys coming sometime this year. We don't have an exact date yet, but we are really excited to improve the program and bring it to you now. So we're going to be keeping you updated on that.
Yes, we will. And we are excited about that. So we're doing one step at a time. And we have the goal. Now, right. One of the things that we also did is we wrote down our goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I started with, I think. You know, people don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan.
Right.
And one of the ways of doing that planning is to write down what it is you're wanting to do. There is just something almost magical about writing it out on a piece of paper. I've done this for years, and I usually lose the paper by about March or April, somewhere in there. I'll have it on my desk and I'll see it and I'll read over it and I'll see what my goals are. And somewhere in there, I lose that piece of paper, and it resurfaces somewhere around November or December. And it's very surprising to me how many of those things I've actually accomplished during the year because I wrote them down.
Definitely. Writing down and things is so powerful.
So let me encourage our listeners to write down their goal. Maybe your goal will be to listen to the podcast on a regular basis. And your goal would be to send for this little chart that I made. And it's a very simple chart. You can duplicate that and use it. And
it's free.
It's free.
You have nothing to lose.
And yet it's effective.
Right.
That's the thing. It's effective.
And same with our relaxation audio. That's free as well. So these two things we're offering you are both complimentary. I don't know if I said that. But we definitely want you guys to also write down your sleep, your caffeine intake, and your breathing. Because that's part of why we provided the chart, is so you can also be tracking that with your own hand.
That's
instead
right.
of, I know there's apps for tracking sleep and when you fell asleep, when you woke up, but I think this is a little bit different. Would you agree, Dr. Barr, when you can actually write it down yourself, what time you went to sleep and what time you woke up, and kind of keep yourself accountable in that way.
Yes.
Okay.
And again, there's that personal involvement of writing it down yourself instead mm-hmm. of just hitting a couple of buttons on your phone or whatever. It may well be that it ends up proving that people who are tracking it electronically, that it will be effective. But it still seems more effective to me if you're doing it with your own hand rather than pushing a button. So,
right.
And you have something visual that you can see, and that's very helpful. So keep it someplace where it is visible, where you can see and remind yourself what you're doing and how you're going about that.
Hold yourself accountable. And we want to remind mm-hmm. you to rate and review our podcast. We love your ratings and reviews. We want to hear from you.
That's right.
We definitely want to hear from you. And we also, you can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Send us a question. I'm actively on there. I can get back to you quickly, so you're not going to, you know, get ignored or redirected somewhere. It's actually me checking. So, make sure you connect with us there.
Good for you.
Yes, using my social media time wisely. And Dr. Barr, I didn't get a chance to say this at the beginning, but I did watch Home Alone this past Christmas.
Oh, you did?
I did. And
I love that movie.
I know. And something stood out to me this time that reminded me so much of you. And it wasn't when he screamed in front of the mirror or anything with his hands over his face. Don't worry. It was the part where he keeps going down to the garage, the basement, I guess. I don't know. We don't have basements. Is the basement uh-huh. downstairs? We don't have basements in Southern
yes.
California. Okay. So he goes down to the basement and the furnace thing comes alive in his imagination.
Oh,
it
yes.
keeps scaring him. And then the second yes. time he goes and it flares up again to scare him, and he says, "Shut up!" And
yes,
and
that's back to it.
That's so funny because it reminds me of you in two ways. I know you told me this one time when you were little, like you used to be afraid to run into the basement or something, and you'd run back out really fast, right? You had some
sort.
Okay, so
yes.
you're like Kevin McAllister.
We had similar that to that. We had a. We had a coal furnace in the basement. My chore was to go down and stoke the furnace, and I had to shovel coal into the furnace and then into the hopper. Getting down there and getting out was the worst part because the light was at the bottom of the stairs, and so I had to descend into this black hole.
Ooh.
And I used to promise myself that I was going to walk up the steps very calmly and quietly, and I would get about two or three steps up and then just run lickety split up the steps, slam the door behind me, and you know, fall on the door to keep it closed so
yes.
the boogeyman couldn't get through the door.
I had a garage similar situation, except we had rats, but we didn't have rats because we were like infested. We had rats because the garage was downstairs near the backyard, and so things could get in, and we didn't really have
yeah.
rats, but we could occasionally get something in there. So I had the same thing where I had to go downstairs, and I was always like, oh my gosh. And I swear I never probably even really saw anything, but I would like think I saw something and freak myself out. But what I
that's right any kind of shadow
yes
what was that?
I was like, oh yeah. It's a rat tail. But what I thought about you was also the whole don't engage fear, you know, how it's like this scene is so perfect for people with anxiety because it shows him actually go down there again, and he could just run away all over again scared, but instead he tells it this time, shut up. And I was thinking, oh, that's so perfect, because that's what Dr. Barr always says.
That's right.
That you just don't, you're not supposed to engage your anxiety. You're supposed to basically say, shut up, leave me alone, and kind of recognize
right.
what's trying to get your attention. A really cool special on Netflix right now. They're doing four movies. It's like Dirty Dancing, Home Alone, Ghostbusters, and they talk about how the movies were made. I had no idea Home Alone made so much money and did. I didn't really realize what a sensational hit it is. But if you watch that,
yes,
that on Netflix, it's actually pretty interesting. All the behind the scenes, like the house was actually the whole house was actually filmed in a school gym. Did you know that? in Chicago.
No, I did it's not like, know it's that. Like all, I don't it's know not a lot of the history behind
yeah,
it.
It's not a house at all. Like, they just shot the outside of the house. And I don't know. It's just a lot of fascinating information. So if you do get some extra time, you can watch that. I think it's called The Movies That Made Us. So, but that's, yeah.
Oh, very cool.
A couple cool things about Home Alone right there, guys. So.
Yeah, that's right. You get a lesson in anxiety from Macaulay Culkin.
He's still teaching us things all these years later.
That's right.
All right.
Oh, very fun.
Well, thanks for joining us today. And we will be back with you next week. And remember, you can get our 2020 chart to sleep better, use caffeine less, and relax and breathe more by going to our Facebook and Instagram page and finding that post there. And you can also connect with us in general there. And don't forget to rate us on the podcast app and make sure you tell your friends about us.
Please do. Yes, please say nice things. That would be
We're
nice.
Begging you. No, I'm just kidding. But Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. See you next time.
Just a reminder, head to changewith2ways.com to find out more about that program. Leave us a review so other people can find us and get these helpful tips from a licensed clinical therapist who specializes in anxiety and has for 30 years. I think that's pretty cool. I think that kind of sets us apart as a podcast. You can leave us a review wherever you're listening. We love to read them. We do. We read all of them, by the way. And we will be back with you next week. We've got some good stuff coming up this year. I'm so excited for it. I'm so excited for you to hear it. And I'm really excited to get more of you on board for the Change program. It's Seeing these results are so cool. It's like everybody loves on Instagram to see everyone's before and after weight loss picture because, I mean, why wouldn't you want to see before and after, right? That's always extremely exciting. So for me to be able to read these before and afters, I can't tell you the joy it brings me to keep this program going and to find out people are now at a level 9 of happiness in their life. I mean, in their daily life, too. That's pretty cool. So change.com is the place, and we'll be back with you next week. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope that something in today's conversation provided you with a feeling of hope, determination, or purpose. I know what you're going through, and that's why I want to give you some of the tools that helped me in my anxiety journey. To get a free copy of Free From Fears, head to freefromfearsbook.com. To find out more about the Change Anxiety Treatment Program, find us at changewith2ways.com. Thanks again for listening, and remember, you are not broken, you are not alone, and you are on your way to living a life free of anxiety. See you next week. Before you go, I wanted to give you one last reminder to discover your anxiety profile at lifefreeofanxiety.com/profile. Going forward, we really think this should be the starting point for everyone's anxiety journey. Once you're done, you'll probably wonder how we could learn so much from just a few questions. It really is amazing. What you don't see is behind the scenes, your responses are compared to what we've learned from helping over 200,000 people just like you reverse their anxiety over the past 40 years. It's a data-backed assessment with real insights. I promise it's worth 90 seconds of your time, and it's totally free. Just click the link in the show notes or head to lifefreeofanxiety.com/profile, and I'll talk to you again soon.